and with us for the first of his two weekly visits, our good buddy Bernie Kosar. How was your weekend, man?
Had a good one. How about yourself?
It was great as we inch ever closer to this draft now, Bernie. It is 3 days and counting until we see what finally happens with this thing. And I guess as the days get shorter to the draft, the conversation ramps up, the propaganda ramps up, the trade scenarios start coming out from all different places. And now all of a sudden, with the Browns sitting at four, you know, there's talk of a team, perhaps Tampa Bay, wanting to leapfrog the Browns to get their shot at Trent Richardson.
Well, we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. And I know Greg Schiano's the new coach and head coach down in Tampa Bay. But Butch Davis, one of his mentors, who got Greg started in the business at the University of Miami, and I'm a really good friends. He's the senior advisor, and really familiar with him from my days at UM, playing with him at the Cowboys. We won the Super Bowl, and then back at UM, and then here with Cleveland. And he has shown a history to really pick one, two, three guys that he really, really loves in a given draft, whether it was Sean Taylor and Kellen Winslow II, back in, I think it was 2004, when I think the Browns had the seventh pick, and he traded with Detroit, who had the sixth pick, and gave away his second-round pick to move up that one spot because Sean Taylor was off the board, and that left K2 as the guy, the last guy he really wanted, and he goes and gets him. If he believes that strongly in Claiborne or Trent Richardson, him wanting to trade that one spot with us, if he thinks we're going to do it, or jump to number three over us, that's not out of the realm of possibilities.
And then the other thing you look at from a Browns perspective is you can get caught up in this trade talk too and say, okay, what's going to happen with the Browns? How do they respond to get this player? Are the Browns the team that needs to move up one spot, or do they, do you move down to again accumulate more picks and go that route? Because I think it comes down to weighing how close you are to being a contender, and I think it'd be safe to say that this team isn't one or two players away from that. But how much more can you improve? How much of an improvement can you make as a team while also adding to your ability to continue to better yourself as time goes on in the years ahead, not just the year ahead?
Well, that's the math equation that you try to put together to get the formula to hopefully get the answer right. And time's going to tell what's really right and what was wrong. But at this stage, this is where the meetings and some of the guys I've met, some of the other ones I haven't, so it's really hard to speak definitively on some of the guys, which I really would have liked to have met. But if you love somebody and you, in your heart of hearts, are convinced that they are difference makers, that they are going to be part of your team and make you an exponentially better team and you're going to be a starter and a difference maker for years to come in the league, you have to take that guy. And I don't mean difference maker by scoring touchdowns, too. Joe Thomas has been a difference maker by shutting down a position for 5-6-plus years, mm-hmm. making plays there, being consistent, being reliable, not being an issue, knowing that he could lock down the left side of the line. I think Alex Mack has done that to its center. So it could be a different position that sometimes aren't as sexy as just scoring touchdowns, but it is imperative that you get a guy who's going to play and contribute solidly for you for years to come. But statistics have said that there's been a lot of, and again, there's another nice article on Cleveland.com about the history of the top 10 picks since the Browns have come back in 99. And boy, there have been some incredible years where most of the top 10 was a disaster and a wipeout, where you look at it and say, oh, my God, I'm glad I didn't pick there. And unfortunately, we've had picks in them where 6, 7, 8, 9 of the top 10 guys haven't been really playmakers, and it's been players 15 through 30 who have been the better long-term NFL playmakers and pros. So if you have a clear-cut love opinion on somebody, I think you follow through with it. But if you have them demons in your head, if you have those thoughts in your head that you're not sure, there are typically other teams that want to jump up, and they're paying incredibly higher prices to move up, sometimes just a few picks to get those spots. And if you're able to get picks next year and get some picks later this year and still keep your first-round pick, albeit a little bit later, there's a lot of great depth in this draft. I think history is going to say in this draft that, the top two quarterbacks are getting a lot of the hype at pick one and pick two. But there's some other players and some other spots that really, I think, are going to be special in the NFL for years to come.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, as we really look at these first three picks that the Browns have and what should be done, I think, to address the needs that this team has and also address the quality, the value in ways that you would think would make sense. I'm looking at, all right, if we stick with conventional wisdom and it is, running back, then somewhere receiver, and then somewhere quarterback. I guess my hesitation to go with the offensive lineman in this equation, in this top three pick area, is that it is a right tackle, and it's, yes, an important position, but I guess I'm inclined to think that I can get that position a little later on. I can address it maybe a different way. I don't necessarily have to invest a premium choice there, but I think for different, you go back to your point earlier in this discussion about difference makers, and I agree with you, a tackle can be such a difference maker as Joe Thomas has been for this franchise. But I'd also say that I guess from a playmaking standpoint, all those three spots and with the potential of one of them, let's say it's a Brandon Whedon as opposed to a Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, you're getting someone who, conceivably is stepping in and doing something for you sooner rather than later.
Well, that could be true. Like the thing with the lineman though on the right guard or right tackle spots is that, again, with the way people pressure the quarterback now, and again, keep in mind, I being an ex-quarterback, when we never took an offensive lineman when I played, so I may have some predisposed thoughts in me about wanting to maybe overprotect the quarterback. But if you could get great at a spot, especially as short as some of the routes are that we throw, and you're trying to get control of the line of scrimmage, not getting pressure in your face, keeping the linemen's, the D-linemen's arms down, by having a physical presence, even if it's at the right guard and right tackle, that wear down the defensive line and allow you to not get pressure in your face and make those throws, especially because the short throws, you actually need to have a better offensive line to be stout and get into the D-linemen to wear them down, to keep their arms down from swatting and knocking down the balls. There's a benefit to that. Is it the best, most valuable benefit for the third, fourth, fifth pick? Probably not. But it's better than ending up with Aaron Curry or Peter Warwick or some of the other fourth-round picks that at the time of being drafted seemed awesome.
Fourth overall pick. Yeah.
That those guys thought were going to be awesome and end up being nothing, to at least get something that you know for sure is going to be, or as close as for sure as you could get, that's going to be at least contributing solidly to your team, is significantly better than ending up with something that in April and May sounds good, but when it gets to production time and actually fulfilling that promise like Peter Warwick or Aaron Curry, and they come up zeros, that would be the kiss of death, I think, for us.
Yeah, I would go along with that. Is you can't, and this was a point that Tom Heckert made the other day, can't miss on premium picks and how much they can set back your franchise. But I also think in terms of the reality of what you're looking for, you can get the two-time Pro Bowler as opposed to, say, the 10-time Pro Bowler, as long as you're not dealing with a bust. I mean, the whole thing is to just avoid whiffing completely on the pick. And I think this is where there is something to be said for staying true to what you know. You know, your board is set for a lot of different reasons. talent evaluation is the biggest, but also personal evaluation, character evaluation, you know, getting the right kind of guy that you believe will be dedicated and work toward becoming a better player and want to be committed to playing in this league and isn't just, you know, isn't just doing it because he wants to tell everybody, yeah, I'm an NFL guy and I'm getting paid to be an NFL guy. Those guys don't last. Those guys don't, most of those guys don't even make it out of training camp. So I think it's very key, crucial to get the right guy as much as it is the right talent.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the right guy from character and personality standpoint, how he integrates within the building, within the locker room, within the sideline, within the team plane, within the team bus, within the meeting rooms, you know, with the veterans, with the younger guys, in the weight room, in a work ethic, off the field, is imperatively important. Also, too, I could add in, your board is your board, but also putting in players on your board that fit who you want to be. And again, Bill Walsh and this West Coast phrase that I don't particularly like, and I think it's overused. And I know when they were doing it, they didn't like it because they were as physical a team, and on the offensive line and the defense, led the league in rushing a few years too, with, although people thought it was always great passing, but they were as physical. And when you talk about adding, whether it's offensive linemen or defensive front seven, I do think strength and the physical ability is something that's imperative to have within the players too. You couple that with character and work ethic, and it's hard to go wrong with those type of characteristics.
Bernie, great stuff as always. I look forward to talking with you again on Thursday. I'll be in New York, but you're going to check in with me from Berea, from the Draft Central here, and I'll be talking with you from Draft Central there. So it should be a lot of fun.
I'll be at headquarters. I'll take your spot on to keep Berea safe on Thursday, Vic.
I love it. Please do. You'll take my watch. He is Bernie Kosar joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 EA Sports. It's in the game.